Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Sunday, August the 9th. It's 6:28 in the morning. I am actually back in Wallace, about 180 miles east of Thomasville, where we live, visiting with my mother and some of the family. It is clear, maybe a little bit of overcast, not much. And right now, at 73 degrees, it feels pretty good. It's going to be hot today, though. I think it's supposed to be, according to what I just listened to on the 1-800-555-TAIL. If you don't use that, you ought to try it. It's free. They're not a sponsor. I have no sponsors. So, anyway, 1-800-555-TAIL, and it's all voice-activated. You can check the news, weather, that type of thing. We're going to go ahead and get started here. According to that, it is 73 degrees. So, down in this part of the state, or as we like to say, down east, but we don't say up west when I go back home. So, down east in Wallace, the humidity is much greater. Wallace is about 45 miles from Wilmington, and whenever I was born in Rose Hill. I wasn't born in a hospital, I was born in a doctor's office, Dr. Halls. Back then, he was like the doctor that delivered maybe half of Duplin County. And then, through a series of moves, ended up in Wallace with an aunt, back in Rose Hill with my dad and stepmother. And at age 9 or so, ended up with my mother and her second husband, who's been deceased for a long time now. And we actually lived in Pender County. Lived out in the country near a little community called Pender Lee. Went to Pender Lee. Back then called junior high school. And then from there, of course, went to Pender High School, which is, I guess it would be just north of Bergall. So the time that I was growing up, from age 9 or so, till I left to go to school, college, I actually grew up in Pender County, which is even a little further, just a tad bit further east. In here. Bergall's probably less than 30 miles from Wilmington. And it's a very, very small town. Most of my growing up here, that's where it was. So we're back in Wallace. Wallace is your typical small town, southern small town, and I mean small. I think last time I saw any figures, Wallace runs 3,800. It's more than that now, probably. But I mean, it's definitely less than 8,000 or 9,000. Has a railroad running through it, which is not active, I don't believe, anymore. It actually took up part of it. Typical downtown, been revitalized with local businesses, things like an art shop, bookstore, independent bookstore, a couple of small sandwich places, things like that. Small town America, small town, North Carolina, southeastern part of the state. You've got it here. Wallace is flat, contrasted to Thomasville, which is pretty hilly. Wallace is 52 feet above sea level. We're much higher than that in Davidson County. So as I run here, I can see, I'm passing by a couple older homes and looking toward Main Street, I can literally see four or five blocks ahead of me, not impeded in any way. You never do that in the Piedmont because there's going to be some hills before that. Wallace does have a depot that was significant in the transport of Confederate soldiers during the Civil War, and they have renovated that depot, and it's now a museum, which I've not had the privilege to see, but they also have been added to the driving tour for the Civil War tour of North Carolina. So Wallace has some history, and maybe sometime or other I'll share a little more about how the city came to be, town rather, came to be founded. It's one thing I want to mention though, just in, as I'm chattering here, I'm not going to be going into a lot of depth about much of anything today. Just out for a run and glad to have you with me. But I thought I would share an interesting tidbit, which as the old saying goes, them's fighting words. And that's relative to what constitutes what we call barbecue here in North Carolina. And I want to recommend a book if you are into eating pork barbecue. The book is called Holy Smoke. Can't remember the author, but it's not over a couple years old. I got a copy for Christmas. Maybe this past Christmas. Maybe it was my birthday. Anyway, it's called Holy Smoke, and it describes the history of barbecue, pork barbecue in North Carolina, things like that. Really a great book. You don't know about North Carolina barbecue, I would recommend you look it up. It might be printed by University of North Carolina Press. Anyway, I want to close this opening segment out by giving you a really quick overview of barbecue. Now, where I'm running today, down east, southeastern part of the state, and actually the entire eastern half, but especially the eastern third, and southeastern, I guess, North Carolina, when you say barbecue, first of all, when you cook something on the grill, it's not a barbecue. That's called cooking out. Or grilling, maybe. Barbecue is, for us at least, in this part of the state, taking a whole pig, putting it on coals, preferably hickory. Now they do use gas. Progress, I guess. Although I'm not sure progress can be blamed for all the good things that happen in our world. Some things aren't as good as they used to be. But anyhow, the barbecue, we cook what we call whole hog. Has to be a younger pig. By younger, I don't mean weeks old, but certainly, you know, less than a year old, a young pig, not that big. And when you dress the pig and you split it, lay it open like you might a chicken on the grill, and you lay that hog on the grill, and you cook him, and it takes hours, I mean, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours over those hickory coals. Now, if people come over and they get the pig off, just pick it off to eat it, and we do that. It's called a pig picking. You may have heard that term. But where I'm from, and in this part of the state, as far as chopped barbecue, you take the meat off, chop it up pretty fine, and season it with vinegar, some crushed peppers, mostly, maybe some salt, and that's pretty much it. You don't put any barbecue sauce as such on it, unless the sauce is the base of vinegar and crushed pepper, that type of thing. And we eat coleslaw with it, which is a cabbage slaw made with mayonnaise, maybe a little bit of vinegar, some salt and pepper. That's barbecue. And you might even take a little bit of the skin that's crunchy, cut it up and put it in it as well. Oh man, I tell you, I would drive 100 miles for good barbecue. I love it. And I guess it's just a thing in North Carolina, I don't know. But our barbecue here, since it's whole hog, they pulled from every part of the pig, put it in it, it does tend to be a little bit fatter, a little bit of skin in it, but man, is it good. You take some Texas Pete or even Louisiana hot sauce, which I love hot foods, you know, put that on it, it's great. Well, there's another type of barbecue in North Carolina, which actually originated 12 miles from Thomasville, and it still bears that name. It's called Lexington barbecue. Lexington barbecue is not cooked with a whole pig. It's cooked with shoulders only. It tends to be very lean. You don't put any skin in it. Typically, very little fat, if any. It's not dried out. I think it is cooked over hickory when possible. But Lexington barbecue is chopped up, or you can get it in coarse chop, which is chunkier bits of meat, or you can get it sliced. And it gets more expensive in a restaurant. Chopped is cheapest, coarse is a little more, sliced is most expensive. It's almost like roast pork when you slice it. Well, the sauce generally used on it is tomato based. It's sweeter, not like what we have here. And also in central part of North Carolina, and I think the western part as well, overall, the sauce is tomato based. It's not vinegar based. So it's sweeter, it's leaner, all shoulders. They would not dream of taking rib meat, for instance, and putting it in barbecue. It might ruin it. Where I am from, oh yeah, you throw everything in it. That's why it's whole hog and a little bit fatter. You know, you get the idea. And then for the slaw, they don't use coleslaw. They use, in Lexington barbecue, they don't use coleslaw. Get back. Got a dog over here. They use barbecue slaw, which literally is a red slaw. It's cabbage chopped up real fine. And I think it must have barbecue sauce in it. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, that's where that comes from. Okay, so we're in southeastern North Carolina. Be going home this afternoon. And the barbecue is a big deal. I told my wife recently that I've been living in the Piedmont region too long because the barbecue is actually tasting good to me. I will recommend, and I'm kidding, any of you from that area that are listening, but I do want to recommend a couple of restaurants for either way, and then we'll close out this segment. If you're down east, I would highly recommend going, if you're in the Greenville area, if you want a real taste of eastern style barbecue, I would recommend Parker's. There's an original, and then there's, I think there's an annex as well. If you're in Greenville, it's probably the best place. If you're in Goldsboro, you got to go to Wilbur's. I think it's on Highway 70. Wilbur's has been around. Oh, it's old as dirt, and everybody goes to Wilbur's in Goldsboro. Wilbur's, if you're from this area, within 75 miles, maybe 100, everybody's heard of Wilbur's. In the central part of the state, Lexington-style barbecue, I'll recommend a couple places. If you ever are way in Thomasville, Tommy's barbecue is great. I love it, and I actually like that style of barbecue. I've gotten used to it, and I like it about as well as I do this down this way. And then the other would be Lexington Barbecue in Lexington, which is Lexington's on 85, not very far off from Thomasville. So that's the barbecue update. But those are two of the, when I say them slang words, oh, we go back and forth about what constitutes good barbecue in North Carolina. Okay, but this is not about barbecue. This is about running, but I thought that would be interesting since I'm down this way today. I have an interview with my mother, which I recorded yesterday. So by the time you hear it, we're gonna edit it, get it together. Talk just a little bit about early life, my early life, and then a little bit about her perceptions of running and that type of thing. My mother's not a runner. She needs to be a walker, but right now she's not doing much of that. She is a great lady, though. She stood by me through all kinds of stuff. And it was my privilege to be able to come and talk to her. So, I think we're going to go ahead and play the interview, and then I'll come back with just a few closing thoughts, just to let you know we are on a 90-minute run. This is my weekly long run, and I'm feeling pretty good right now. We've been running for 15 minutes, and this week, this run since Sunday, in other words, I think Tuesday, I ran, then Friday I ran, today I run. If I run 10 miles today, that will put me up around 26 for the week. So that's where we are. Didn't bike any, hope to this coming week, but anyway, that's where we are today. So here's an interview with Elizabeth, my mom. Hope you enjoy that. Sit down with us in the carport. Let's talk a spell. And just want to introduce you to probably a person stuck by me more than anybody in this world through the early period of my life. And I consider it a privilege to talk with her. It's good to be home again. So, Lib, let's take it away.
To the door without running back to you. Just one more time.
mother in Wallace under her carport. Today is the 8th of August. It's about 10:45 in the morning. I think it's supposed to be about 92 degrees today. And it's already 95 according to her. But anyway, I just wanted to talk to her a few minutes and wanted her to talk to us a couple of minutes about, give you a little more information about growing up and the time I spent living with my mother. And first of all, I went to live with Mama when I was probably 8 or 9 years old. Do you remember any at all what it was like when I first got there? I know you and Daddy had divorced, and of course I have siblings, which I've talked about on this podcast, but went to live with you and my stepdad. Do you remember much about that?
Yes, I remember, but I don't know how to explain it.
How did you feel whenever that was over and you knew that I was actually going to go stay with you?
I felt a relief because I'd been thinking about it so long, you know, and all.
Right. Do you remember when I used to take me home? I think I went to stay with you once a month, first weekend, and you would take me home, and you'd be, or to Daddy's, and you'd be crying, and I'd be crying, and you'd say, one day I'm going to get it where you can stay with me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely remember that.
Well, how did it feel when I finally, when it was all over as far as that, and you knew, I know I had other siblings too, Carolyn and Sammy and all, but.
It was really hard to believe that it finally happened. That's the way I felt.
Right.
Well, I remember I hated to take you back, you know, like you had the turtles in the wash pot and stuff. I was really heartbreaking.
In other words, I had made that my home when I was with you, and then I had to go back after a weekend.
And then whenever you left, I just, it was bad.
Yeah. But we got past it, and I talked in one episode about going in the judge's chamber and her asking me did I want to stay with my mother or my father, and I said, well, I love them both. I don't really know, but...
I remember that.
Anyway, you know, we went through all that and then ended up staying with you. And I remember Sammy played a critical role in my life. And I have talked about Hoover, which Hoover was my mother's husband at that time, that basically took me in as his own. And I remember Hoover telling me that, telling people that I was his son as well, even though him and Mama had my brother, Delwood, who was born when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And I remember Hoover was the one that took me fishing, and Hoover was the one that showed me how to cut okra and how to work in a garden and all that. But also another person critical at that point, Mama, was Sammy, which I talked about.
Yes.
I did an episode on him where I interviewed Sammy last time I was home. Do you remember the first time he showed up and told me, or about the time when he was running, beginning that?
Mm-hmm.
What are your just general memories about that?
I just remember after you got into it more than I do, you know, that you were, from then on, you just, that was your life, a lot of your life.
Why do you think
was so? Running.
Why do you think it was like that?
Because I remember when you would come in and you'd be just, like, you know, stressed out or something like that, and you say, I got to go running, and you start getting your shorts and stuff on, you know, and you'd run down to 421, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how many miles, but pretty long ways. And you'd come back like, oh, everything's fine. I really remember that real good.
You know, exercise has a way of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, we were talking about that this morning, and my mother is controlled with medication, but she's diabetic, and we talked about her, hopefully her and my stepdad, who was in recovery from multiple myeloma, maybe being able to get out and exercise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember that. I didn't remember sharing with you that I felt like I just had to get out and go running to feel better, but I think I do remember that.
Yeah, you sure did.
Did you ever go to any races with us?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I went every time I got the chance, which was, you know,
where did we go?
Pretty often. I remember most about going to Wilmington, remember to the park.
Greenfield Park.
Yeah.
Did you ever go with us to Goldsboro?
Yes.
Where it was always exceptionally hot.
Yes. Oh, Lord. I remember that.
I remember that as well. And I remember back then I was a little faster than I am now.
And I remember how much fun that was, but with Sammy and
Ronnie Judge, remember?
Yeah, Ronnie was a good friend of Sammy's, and he's not running anymore, is he?
I don't think so. He looks real slim, you know, like.
Yeah, Sammy told me Ronnie was playing golf now.
That couldn't take place of running.
No,
I wouldn't think.
One of the things that I just wanted to bring up just briefly, and you might have touched on it, was back then I didn't think of running as being necessary to help me cope with what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. But even though I had a good situation with you and Hoover and Dale with my half brother, I think the running was my way of dealing with a lot of issues that I was dealing with because it let me get it out in a way.
I think so too.
Physically. But I remember so many times after work, even down in Bergall, I would get out there at, sometimes it'd be 9 o'clock at night, and it'd be freezing weather, and I'd still get ready, and I'd change in my car, and I'd go running. It might be 11 o'clock at night and get home late, but it felt really, really, really good.
You don't probably talk to Sammy about his running. You know, he was a fanatic about it, too, but he's just, you know, got out of it with his work.
Right.
All, but he walks sometimes, but and I keep telling him, you know, Sammy, if you get back into running, you wouldn't be so stressed out. He said, Mom, I'm not stressed out.
Yeah, right.
But he loved it as good as you.
Well, he was responsible to get me started, and, mm-hmm. and like when we started this conversation, Sammy, and we talked about this in a previous episode, so I won't get into it now, but I realized more and more that Sammy, he really played a more critical role in my life through that time than he probably realized. Mm-hmm. And I came to understand that, and a while back we talked about that when I interviewed him. But what are some things that you said you feel like this morning that you just wanted to get out and go walking, mm-hmm. for instance? How does it make you feel?
Just made me feel like I've been feeling like that a long time ago, and like it would be so good for me mm-hmm. to do that.
Right.
And I don't do it.
Right.
So you see that? If you just get up now and go walking before it gets hot and all, you know, I don't do it.
Okay. Well, I know Ronald, your husband.
He used to.
He walked a lot mm-hmm. at one point.
I did too. I got where I could walk, I don't know how many miles, all over the other side, all out towards Kansas City and everywhere. Me and Miss Tobin's walked together.
Well, I know that it doesn't matter whether you are running or walking or whatever. If you get out and do something like that, mm-hmm. it makes you feel mm-hmm. better.
Yeah.
It does.
It really does. I know that. I feel a lot better. It wouldn't be any comparison the way I feel. And
right. Well, you know, there have been studies that have shown, and I think I addressed this in a previous episode, but there are studies that have shown that for mild to moderate depression, mm-hmm. exercise, running specifically, but exercise is just as effective as mm-hmm. tranquilizers or whatever. Now, that doesn't mean if you've got a medical condition that you don't need medicine, and I'm not telling anybody not to take your medicine, but I think the role of exercise is more important than people realize, not just physically, but for your head. And I know that George Sheehan, which I've mentioned before, he's a cardiologist. He passed away several years ago of prostate cancer, but he used to talk about when he ran, he said the first hour is for my body and the second hour is for my head, which I always thought was a good statement. So, well, I don't expect you, Mama, to get out here and go running. It's like 95 today, I do want to encourage you to get out and get moving a little bit.
I am.
If you can. You and Ronald.
I can.
But I know Ronald, he walked a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago.
He walked up there to teach him all right out on the highway and back on.
How far was he going?
I don't know how far it is up there, but he walked up there around Carol's house and all back mm-hmm. home.
Right.
How far is it teaching?
From
Two
here.
3 miles.
It's at least that far, probably mm-hmm. 3 or 4.
He probably walked 7, 8 miles, something.
Like that.
And he wasn't even used to walking there, or anything.
Yeah, just got up there and got going. Mm-hmm. Wow.
He really liked to walk.
Well, did you ever think that I had a problem with my running, or did you think it was too much?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Never.
You never felt like, well, you know, he's doing that too much. And he's
no.
Not,
uh-uh.
Okay. So you think it was beneficial to have that outlet?
Yeah, sure do, just like now. Me and Ron were talking about that, about the way Sammy and you used to run. And
yeah.
I told Ron, Sammy needs to get out right now and do it.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 minutes a day, and then...
He could build up to it.
I think he walks.
He does.
And Sandra walks with him. So.
We talked about that. Yeah, he does. Well, it's always been, you know, I got out of it for a lot of years, and now I'm back in it. And it, I think really I like it because not just physically, but I think mentally it helps me. And, and it's a good thing, so in that sense.
Well, I tell you one, I recommend it. I really do.
Well, while you might not get out and go running, I recommend you get out and start walking.
I am. That's one of my things that I'm going to do.
Okay.
I mean, I've been thinking about it a long time.
Well, I'm going to keep the crowd updated on how my mother's walking's going, okay? In the weeks ahead. So now you've got...
The only thing wrong about walking now is it's so hot and you got to get up so early in the morning.
I know.
Which I need to do.
Well, in this area, too, the humidity is... terrible. I mean, we're sitting out here right now, it's around just about 11 o'clock, and you can feel how humid it is.
That's the reason you got to, anything you do, you got to get out, you know.
Well, I find that when I get up really early, like at least where we stay, which is about 3.5 hours west of here, but when I get up early, like at, you know, 5:30 to go running, it is very, very nice in the morning.
I don't think it would be here.
It's not. The humidity is totally different here. And it's muggy no matter when you get up. Well, Mama, I appreciate you talking with me. I just wanted to introduce the crowd to my mother. She lives in Wallace, North Carolina, and that's the area where I grew up. Of course, now we live in Central Florida State. And went to live with her and my stepdad when I was 8 or 9 years old and stayed there until I left to go to school. And during those years, teenage years, mid to late teens, was when I did a lot of running, me and Sammy. And think back on that a lot. It was a lot of fun. So.
A lot of fun for me, too.
But anyway, I appreciate you talking to me. If there's one thing you could tell people about me that they really ought to know, what is it?
It's that you are really a determined person.
Okay.
You want me to tell them what you said when you started to go to school, you know, to Dunn?
What did I say?
You said you didn't really have the money, but you were going.
Okay.
I mean, you didn't have it like some people. Here, son, yeah, this is for you to go to school,
yeah.
And I'll take care of everything and all. You didn't, it wasn't like that with you.
Yeah.
But then you went and everything was just fine. I mean,
you think I got that from my daddy or my mama?
I think you got it from your mama.
I think I got it from my mother, too. I don't think sometimes you're not quite as determined as you used to be.
No.
But I do know you've worked hard a lot of your life, and I know you helped Daddy go through school, and you kept him going when he wanted to quit. And, you know, I found that if you put your mind to something, you can do it if you really work at it. And I was just determined that I was going to try to do the best I could with that, the education. And I guess, in a way, maybe I am like Daddy in the sense that if he was doing, you know, working, he was working hard as he could. And when he was having issues, you know, I think I'm kind of that way as far as getting my mind on one thing and I stick with it until I try to get it done. But, well, Mom, I appreciate you talking to us and appreciate you being my mother and you brought me into the world. And I remember one time you told me, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was when I was going through one of the very few times that I ever caused you any trouble.
Oh.
Which there was a time or two, but not that many. But I remember you told me your children, you said, you're my source of greatest joy, and you're also my source of greatest pain. So that's probably true, but I hope I haven't been too much
No, wrong, you bet. Wish I could say that about all of them.
We're not going to call names.
No.
All right.
No, we're not.
We're going to wrap this up, but thank you for talking to me.
I enjoyed it, Roland.
All right, and I'll be talking to you later.
Okay.
We've got 2 minutes left, and
They're running an hour and 28 minutes, 15 seconds. We are feeling pretty good. Don't know how far I've been. I'll give you an update a little bit later. A couple minutes. I felt sluggish early. Cindy and I went to her aunt's 47th wedding anniversary gathering. Tons of food. Well, I mainly ate vegetables, a little bit of ham, some dessert. Not much dessert, but more than I typically do. We've been home the last couple days. My diet's not been as good as usual. Gotta get back on with that. But anyway, I began to feel good, feel better. Drank water at 38 minutes. Took a gel at 52. Drank water again about, 10 after the hour, 70 minutes into it. And I have felt pretty good. I used the strawberry honey stinger today. Ordered a box of those. I'm gonna turn around. And they have caffeine, cola nut, 32 milligrams per pouch, contrasted with 50 milligrams caffeine in like the beans. But I definitely, there will be a sprint today, by the way. We're increasing our speed a little bit as we go through these last 45 seconds or so. Because I feel good, I really do. Legs are feeling it a bit, but I feel good. Anyway, the strawberry honey stingers, that they include caffeine in those, 32 milligrams, are a definite yes. I love the taste, texture, and they gave me a boost within 15 minutes. I could definitely tell I was getting some energy. And now we've got more energy and we are winding this up. Okay, we're gonna go a little hard. Not an all out sprint. Close to it. 15 more seconds. Starting to get a little warm, but not unbearably so. Okay. Controlled. And we're stopping. Okay. Whew. Felt good. Feel like a strong workout, but yeah, I felt very strong. Second half definitely faster than the first. If I can run the half like that, I'll be very, very happy. In other words, first hour or so, hold back a bit. And then the second half, 7 miles, whatever, really began to pick it up. And I'd love to be busting it the last 2 to 3 miles, but I don't know. I want to remind you that I do begin the half marathon training this coming week. Basically, to incorporate a long run, which I want to get up to 2.5 hours, one of those, 2 hours and 15, one of those, and rest of the time pretty much what I've been doing for the long run. And then the shorter distance one day, probably continue to run 72, 73 minutes twice. Those distances, one of those, we'll be doing some speed work, and I've already got that mapped out. How to get that together. Morning. So that's what we're planning to do for that. It's a 10-week program, and at the end of 10 weeks, we should be ready to go. So we'll see how it turns out. As I ran through Wallace today, I was reminded of how the economy has hit this area, as I'm sure it has where you are. If you live in the U.S., and I know other countries too, but Del Mar Minshew, Buick Chevrolet place, been in business for years and years and years. Had a sign up as I ran by that said, thanks for your many years of service, be back soon. Well, I would say that's doubtful, but. And then other places of business that I remember, the dime store growing up, building's empty, it's for sale. It's a little depressing, but there are also signs of life, some revitalization going on, and we're thankful for that. They're getting a new Walmart. Whoopee! It's going to be opening, I think, another couple of weeks. Everything's moving out of town toward what's called Tin City on 41, and a lot of areas of town have basically died as Walmart is beginning to move from where it was here in town to the outskirts of town. Like so many communities, they leave behind an empty building, empty shopping center. I'm not knocking free enterprise. I just have my questions about that sometime. Anyway, let's wrap this up. I've been talking long enough. I hope you enjoyed the interview with my mother. This is episode 14, by the way. I don't know if I've said that or not. We'll be back in about 7 or 8 days. I don't know where we're going to eat lunch today, but didn't have any barbecue at the dinner last night, so if I can find some barbecue, I might eat that. Come down this way. You don't even have to tell them what you want. Just say, I want a barbecue sandwich, or I want barbecue. They'll know what you mean. Okay. All right. Thanks for being with me today. I really enjoy you being here so much. Send me an email. Send me an MP3 with questions, race reports, things like that. Go to the blog. Look at the information on that. I'll take emails. I'll take audio clips. I will take whatever you send me, and we'd love to share it with other listeners. Post it on the blog. If you've had a race recently, let me know that. If you have a question or whatever, let me know that. I do want to know, I do want to remind you, I would like to do an answer question, question and answer, I guess is the best way to put that, episode. Send me some questions about me, about running, about North Carolina, I don't know. And I'll try to answer those on the air, or on the podcast at least. But I do want to appreciate Jerry, I think it was Jerry Harry, from Side B Records. Just thank me for playing a song by Chris English this past episode, episode 13, Summer Revisited. He told me go to Side B Music, and if I need any more music, let him know. So, Jerry, thank you. And it's good to be your friend, too, on Facebook, by the way. But you can go to sidebrecords.com. I think that's the address. And I will put links for that, the Honey Stingers. I might even put a couple links to some barbecue joints. But listen, have a great week. I've enjoyed being with you. I hope to hear from you. Take a minute, please. Send me an email. Go to iTunes. Do a quick review. I would appreciate that. And let you know that we ran 10.19 miles in 1 hour, 31 minutes, and 4 seconds. Let's see what our average pace was. Average pace was 8:55. Okay, so that's good. All right, that's the report. That's this week. Talk to you later. Listen, you have a good one. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the 20 Minute Runner podcast. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. You can find information about the music used and items mentioned in this episode in the show notes at the blog. All music used in the 20 Minute Runner podcast is protected under a Creative Commons license. Some of the music provided is from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com. The opening and closing tracks are from Jamendo.com. At the blog, you can subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader. Leave a comment or send me an email. Simply click the Email Me button. Please feel free to send an MP3 or WAV file as an attachment. We may play your audio clip on an upcoming episode. I also want to encourage you to send a photo and race report from your most recent race to share with other listeners. You can find more information at the blog. I want to hear from you and know your thoughts about the program. I've really enjoyed sharing with you this week and look forward to running with you next time, and trust that your training is going well. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner.